Amen. I want to turn your attention to the book of Matthew, chapter number 2. Chapter number 2 and verse number 1. And for all of you that are looking for that Christmas message in December, my wires are crossed up and here it is. Amen. Praise God. Matthew chapter number 2 and verse number 1. Now, when Jesus was in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Skipping down to verse number 11, the Bible says, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Praise God. And for just a few minutes of time this morning, I want to simply talk to you about recognizing the significance of his presence. Amen. Recognizing the significance of his presence. Hallelujah. Would you just open your heart up to the Lord here this morning and just pray and ask God to help you to begin to understand in the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm asking you to help me to understand the significance of all of this. I'm asking you, sweet Savior, to reach down and to move in this place. I'm asking you to help every heart and every soul, every individual today. In the name of Jesus Christ. 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 We thank you, Jesus, and we love you and appreciate you. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. Amen. This morning, yesterday, we went over, a few of us went over to Emporia and was there for the youth rally and traveled up there. Brother Newman and myself went in my vehicle. And we spent the entire time on the way up there talking about the things of God. And on the way back, we spent the entire time talking about the things of God. And I told him when he was leaving my house, I said, "I have no idea what I'm going to even talk about here this morning." And really didn't have any idea until this morning. The Lord began to move, began to talk to me about this. And I just hope that I can deliver it in the way that I feel it. And I just believe there's something to this. And I don't have a whole lot of notes. For many of you, that's the dangerous part of everything. And but I just want the Lord to help us out here today. Praise God. I do believe Brother Newman had mentioned something yesterday, and that's not the purpose of this message here today. But he had mentioned something yesterday that I was reminded of this morning sometime around 8:30 or 9 o'clock as I was working on this. But the lingering of the saints of God in the presence of God is almost extinct in our generation. I feel like we miss so many things that God would have for us just because we either ourselves are on a time frame, and in that wise, we have God on a time frame. We have God at on a schedule. And many of you are sitting here looking at the time, 10:35. You're looking for 11:30, and definitely, hopefully, by 12. And so that begins to exclude anything that God would truly desire to do. And I remember growing up as a child, born and raised in Pentecost, but I remember growing up as a child that many, many times the lingering of the presence of God and just the holy hush and the heavenly heaviness of the Spirit that was in our services. I remember even as a child going home somewhere past the 10 o'clock hour. We weren't so motivated by the clock. We weren't so motivated by time. We weren't so upset with jobs the next day and having to go to them and such like that. But there was a hungriness, a hunger to be in the presence of God. I remember even banquets that we went to. And there in the banquet places and the restaurants, and the presence of God would fall in that place. And I remember taking young people out through the rest of the diners and them speaking in tongues and what we would call drunk in the Holy Ghost. And so we just don't see a lot of those things. I try to read a book on a regular basis. I don't read it every year, but on a regular basis, every 2 to 3 years, I take myself back to a book that I have read many, many times. And it was written by Brother O.F. Foss, and he just goes back into the days of his beginning. And it begins to talk about traveling in those days, and that many times to get from church to church, he just had to walk miles and miles, and he would catch a train and get on a train somewhere and ride it to the next stop and get off and walk, and he would walk down the dirt roads and stuff to a place where a horse and a buggy would pick him up and would take him 15 miles before they would have to change directions, and then he would walk from there. A time when he sent his wife to a conference and sent her by train, but not having the money to get there himself, he walked the entire way to get there. And the times that they would spend in prayer and such, the miracles that happened in those days and times. And they said that nobody received the Holy Ghost until sometime around the midnight hour. And, well, at our midnight hour, there wouldn't be anybody to receive the Holy Ghost. We'd all be at home and tucked in our beds with visions of sugar plums dancing in our heads and such. But I feel like so many times that we limit God and His presence and His abilities by our time clocks. Praise God. And so we look here at this traditional story of the wise men making their way into Bethlehem of Judea in search of God, in search of Christ, in search of the baby, Jesus. And I would have I would be remiss to not bring this up, but we must be sure to add this to the story here, in the fact that the Bible said that they wanted to know where he was, for that they were come to worship him. So he was more than just a man, more than just a man, because if wise men and such are going to fall down and worship him, then there is some kind of treason and idolatry that is going on if he is not God. But he was God. He was the manifestation of the Almighty God. And so they came to worship him. But in their, oh God help us, in their coming to worship God, they prepared themselves. They didn't just show up. They did not just show up at, and let me just break some of the thought process that is there. They did not just show up, and they do not show up to a manger. There is no manger at this particular time. And I know that that is the traditional Christmas story of how that the wise men came and that there are shepherds there and they all gather for a group and a photo. And there's the shepherds and there's the wise men and there's Mary and there's Joseph and there's the baby Jesus. That is tradition. That's not reality. It's not reality. And the reason that it's not reality is because King Herod had put a decree that every child, every boy that was born 2 years of age and younger were to be killed. And John the Baptist is not one of them. John the Baptist does not have to worry about this. And John the Baptist is about 6 months older than Jesus. But yet Jesus, Joseph, and Mary have to worry about this. They have to worry about Herod finding Jesus and killing him. And so this is why Herod wants to know where Jesus is. You read in the scripture, and the Bible says that Herod wanted to go kill him. The wise men, he told the wise men, he said, when you find him, send word back so that I may come and worship him as well. But the angels ministered to the wise men and let them know Herod's desire. And so the Bible teaches us that they went home a different way. They did not go to Herod. So anyways, meanwhile, back at the ranch here, we have the wise men that are coming to worship the Lord. Praise God. Anybody come to worship the Lord today? I just wonder how many of us brought something. I just wonder how many of us brought something. You know, the mentality that we have is church is traditional. Church is what we do. Today there are places throughout this entire county that are packed to capacity simply because of tradition. It's Sunday morning and this is just what we do. And they get up and they make themselves somewhat presentable to go to a place that has ascribed to be a church, a place that they have visited many, many times in the past. And they go to this place with a mentality to receive, with a mentality to walk in and to make sure that somebody has checked their name off of the attendance list, and that they in their mental facilities would be able to say, yes, I have went to church. And they appease that tradition. It's a tradition that mom may have had, a tradition that grandma and grandpa may have had. It may be a tradition that generations gone by have had. And here they are today, and they're going to churches, and they're sitting in these auditoriums, and they are listening to some type of singing, whether it would be traditional songs, contemporary songs. Some of them they know, some others they may not know, but they are there, and that is what matters. And they will listen to a minister get up and begin to give his Sunday sermon. And in this Sunday sermon, they are looking for what they may be able to receive and apply to their lives at this moment. And some will probably get up and walk out of that auditorium and never think twice about the message that they have heard. By tonight, they probably won't even remember without some great thought about what was ministered in that service. Give them another day or two, and that percentage rises very, very high of anybody that really understands or knows what the message was. And there is a smaller percent that would be able to understand the message, and even a smaller percent that would go home and truly begin to apply the message to the heart. But they have appeased their conscience, but they supposedly came into the presence of God and they had absolutely nothing. I think it's a great shame to hear testimonies, to hear words that are said and stated. And I have heard this, I have read this within the past few years of how that people have attended these churches and what they get out of it, or they say, you know what, it's been years since I have felt the presence of God. It's been years, and thinking that something was wrong with them, and then to have their pastor stand up and say, to feel the presence of God is not always just what happens. And we may go for months without feeling the presence of God, and we may go for a year plus without feeling the presence of God. I don't know about you, but there's something with inside of me that says I cannot buy into that. I cannot ascribe to that way. There is something in me that desires to feel the presence of God. There is something with inside of me that goes beyond Sunday, amen, to Wednesday. Somewhere between Sunday and Wednesday, I've got to feel the presence of God. I don't ever want it to be that I have not felt His presence. I don't ever want it to be that I take His presence for granted. And I sure don't want it to be that even as Jacob, amen, that in a place of rest, I failed to recognize the presence of God. In that he rose up from that night and he said, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place, and I felt it not. Can I just say here to you today that whether you feel the presence of God or you don't feel the presence of God does not diminish his presence. Hallelujah. Amen. There ought to be a self-check with inside of us of how that we can see a person over here being blessed and being helped and strengthened by the presence of God. But I myself would say, I don't feel anything. Oh, God, help me to check myself and to find a place. Where is it? And what is it that I have done that would cause, amen, that division, would cause that space between us to not recognize his presence? Praise God. Amen. The Bible teaches us that Jacob went and running for his life, that he would get to that place there in Bethel, that he would call Bethel, and he would find him a stone, and he would take that stone and he would lay it down and he would use it as a pillow, and that he would fall asleep. And while he was sleeping, there was a dream that he had, and there was a ladder that descended from the heavens down unto earth, and angels were ascending and descending that place. And when he woke up, he said, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. He said, this is none other but the house of God. Oh, there is so much typology that is invested into that scripture. Amen. The Bible calls Jesus the stone that the builders rejected, and in Isaiah chapter number 20, he said, this is the rest which causeth the weary to rest. In Mark chapter number 16, he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He told Moses, I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will hide you there, and you will see my glory. Amen. That rock, he is Christ Jesus. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 4 speaks about, amen, and that rock that gave them water, and that rock was Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for the rock. But let me just tell you, amen, that there is such peace, amen, and there is such comfort, amen, when it comes to the presence of God. And this is the place where the weary can rest. Amen. He began to speak of it concerning the Spirit. Thus spake he of the Spirit, and he said, for with a stammering lip and another tongue that he would speak to
His people. Oh, thank God that I can come to Him and that I can get to the church and that I can find rest for my weary soul. And that rest is in the Holy Ghost. That rest isn't just sitting there. That rest isn't just sitting back and absorbing. But as I involve myself into His presence, there is strength, there is passion, there is help, there is victory, there is healing when I involve myself into His presence.
Praise God. Praise God. Amen, amen. The children of Israel were standing around in Exodus chapter number 20. And the voice of the Lord, the presence of God was there. And the voice of God began to cry out and began to say, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Amen. And the Bible said that there was thunders and there was lightnings that began to happen. And the people began to quake. God, forgive us of our nonchalant spirit that comes in and just throws our things on a pew. And we'll just say, "God, here I am, and you've just got to accept me as I am." Amen. I'm telling you, when we come into the presence of the King of Kings, it's not us. Amen. It's not Him that is honored by our presence, but it is we that are honored by His presence. When I come into the presence of the King, I want to be sure my countenance is right. I want to be sure my mind is right. I want to be sure my spirit is right. I'm in the presence of one that is greater than anybody that has ever ruled upon the face of this world. I'm in the presence of the greatest inventor that has ever been on the face of this earth. His countenance is beyond my ability to understand, and His infiniteness is beyond my abilities to comprehend.
Brother Michael, I'll never understand Him all. I'll never comprehend Him all. Because every time He said it like this, I believe it's in Psalms 34. He said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me." Oh, magnify. You know, part of that is magnify. But some of it is, let's take it in a little bit closer and let's scrutinize it. Amen. And when you look at something, amen, beyond just the naked eye, and you take it into a microscope and you begin to magnify it, things that the naked eye cannot see begin to be exposed, and you begin to see genes and chromosomes, and you begin to see things. I begin to see the genetic makeup of God as it comes forth. Amen. And even though my mind doesn't understand it all, doesn't mean that it's not there. Amen. It is there. And if I apply myself, I can understand it. But give me something stronger and I'll magnify it even greater. And when the more that I magnify it, the more that I see, it's complex, but it's infinite.
Praise God. And so here they are, the children of Israel, here in what we would know as the Ten Commandments. And in this, they fear and they quake. We need a good baptism of fear in this day and age. Said, "Oh no, we shouldn't fear God." I think it would be good if some people got a little bit of fear of God. Great revival came when the fear of God came upon the people. Ananias and Sapphira were struck dead. Say, well, they lost two, but they gained a whole lot. The fear of God baptized them. Amen. The Bible said that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that's just simply all in respect, respecting. And so here they are, and they're trembling and they're shaken because the mountains are trembling and shaken. I mean, even the mountains are wise enough to reverence the presence of God. Some of us walk in, it's like, "God, bless God, you got me today. You're lucky." And we come in with an attitude, a mentality and stuff. Amen. I want to make sure that I check my spirit at the door. I want to come in humbleness. I want to come in, amen, under the grace of God. Oh, God, I don't deserve to be here. But He has invited us into the banquet hall. Praise God. And so the children of Israel, they told Moses, they said, "Look, they said, you go talk with God. You go talk with God. And whatever God tells you to tell us, we will hear it. Just don't let Him speak to us anymore." And so God called Moses up upon the mountain,
And upon that mountain he went. And the Bible said in Exodus chapter number 24 that he walked into a cloud, the glory of God. And the Bible said right there in Exodus chapter number 24 that the glory of God that was there, that the people did see the mountain on smoke and with fire, and they equated it to the glory of God. But you read just a few chapters later, and even though they can see the glory of God and the presence of God up there and stuff like that, they're asking Aaron for an idol. And so your distance from the glory of God matters. You can't survive from a distance away from the presence of God. Because even though you can see the presence of God, that doesn't mean that you're a recipient of the presence of God. I want to be more than just a visual spectator of the presence of God. I want to get into the presence of God. I want to be in that place where I can experience His presence. I want to be in that place that I can experience His revelations. I want to be in that place that I can experience His heartbeat. Be in that place that I can experience even His vision and His love. I don't want to see His vision. I don't want to see His love. I don't want to see His compassion. I don't want to see His revelation from a distance. I want to get as close to it as I possibly can get to it. And the closer that I get to it in magnification, I begin to understand it a lot more. Oh, but I want to take note of the three wise men. Amen. They were wise. And they were wise men, and that they brought gifts of gold and of frankincense and of myrrh. The gold signifying the deity of this baby. He's not just flesh, but He's God, manifest, expressed in the flesh. And they brought that gold signifying the purity and the deity of it. They brought the frankincense, and frankincense was used, amen, in worship. Amen, that this individual is worthy of worship, my worth, amen, what I count him as worthy of. They brought that frankincense unto him, and they brought myrrh, which was a common ingredient or a common herb that was used from a tree. Imagine that he would die on that tree, and from that tree would come the myrrh that would be used, amen, for the embalming process. It was a signification of his death that was to come. And they brought that gold, and they brought that frankincense, and they brought that myrrh. And we could even say, amen, that we could turn it around and flip it the other way, in that it was the gold that signified his deity, amen. But also, when I receive the Holy Ghost, amen, I'm going to be tried as pure gold, and everything that can abide the fire has got to go through the fire, amen. And the hay, the wood, and the stubble is going to be burned out, but only the true things are going to remain. Oh God, help me to abide the fire and to come forth. And he said, you amen, when you tried, you shall come forth as pure gold. And I want to bring my worship unto the king, and the myrrh, that I'm going to die out to the things of this world and be completely his. But they had to contemplate this. They had to think about this. We're going to see the king. And what shall we bring? I got to bring something. I got to bring something. And they brought something because they realized the significance of his presence. I'm not just going to see the grandbabies. Every time I go to see the grandbabies, I'm not bringing gifts. If my wife had it her way, we may be, but there's something special about God. There's something special about God. When he found me, I wasn't too pleasant to look upon. When he found me, I was just a 14-year-old knothead that was on his way to a devil's hell that was getting worse by the day. When he found me, the song says, and I thank God he found me just in time. just in time. Just in time. Just a few weeks later. Amen. Those that I hung out with broke into a house and stole guns and all kinds of things. I would have been there. I would have been there. I'd have been a felon. I'd had a felony record against me at a young teenage age in my life. But he found me. He found me. I wasn't anything bright. I wasn't anything brilliant. I didn't bring a lot of hope. I didn't bring, amen, a lot of promise. I brought a lot of baggage. I brought a lot of weight. I brought a lot of hindrances. I brought a lot of bitterness. I brought a lot of things, amen, that wasn't very godly, but he found me. He found me, and amen, this God that I serve now, when I come before him, I don't want to appear before him empty. Empty. Deuteronomy chapter number 26 and 28, we'll go there tonight. But the Bible said that none should appear before him empty. Empty. Don't appear before the Lord empty. And so the wise man said, We're gonna bring gifts. What are we gonna bring him? They had to think about it. They had to contemplate about it. And they figured out what they were going to bring him. And they brought it. The Bible speaks concerning another one that sought to be in the presence of God. Some called her a woman. Another would call her Mary. And they all would say that she went into the presence of Jesus with an alabaster box. And she was going into his presence, but she wasn't going in empty. An alabaster box for a woman like Mary was a very, very expensive, sacrificial gift. More than likely, she had to work. And we won't get into that, but she had to save much for a long time in order to be able to have something of this significance. Some theologians would say that this alabaster box was equivalent to a year's worth of wages. Just think what you make in 1 year. And all of the hard work that you had to apply yourself to get that. And then to give it away in a short amount of time. The entire thing, not just a piece of it, but all of it. All of it. If somebody was to make only $24,000 a year, that $24,000 means a lot to them. $24,000 or $96,000, it doesn't matter. But this woman took this box, more than likely a year's worth of wages, and she brought it. What was she doing? There was some type of significance about it. I don't know what she may have planned to do with this alabaster box. I don't know what her intentions were with this. But whatever it was a plan put together. And some point in her life, Jesus came into view. And there was something about Jesus and what he did for her, helped her with, what he represented unto her, caused her to pull out this alabaster box in a mindset of, I want to give my all. Everything that I have, I want to give something that hurts. David would say it like this. He said, I will not offer him something that costs me nothing. He said, I want it to cost me. It has to cost me. This woman is saying, this cost me dearly. But you understand that she had put a value upon this man, Christ Jesus. Amen. It was her worth, her value, her estimate, her assessment of him, the worthiness of it all. And she considered it worthy. And so the Bible says that going into his presence, she takes an alabaster box with her. And there is a man by the name of Simon. The Bible calls him a leper. Many will state that Simon was a former leper that Jesus had already healed before that. And they take you to the scripture there. Others will say that Simon was still a leper. Some will say, well, he wasn't a leper because that he was there in Jerusalem and he couldn't be in a town. He couldn't be in a city limits with leprosy. The law of the land was that they couldn't be in a city limits with walls, and there were no walls around Jerusalem, and so he very well could have been there. Nevertheless, but majority believes that he was the leper that was cleansed and that he was helped. And so here he is, and here are the disciples, and one of the disciples is Judas, and one of the disciples is Peter. And they're all in the presence and nobody brought anything. As a matter of fact, Jesus looked at Simon. He would say, look, he said, I've come to your house and you haven't washed my feet. You haven't greeted me. You know, you didn't greet me with the formal kiss. You haven't asked to wash my feet. You've done nothing. You've done nothing. You just feel like just because we are in the same room that everything is okay. And really, what was he saying? Let me just put it from the Cowan Amplified translation. And I feel like Simon was a leper that was healed. And so in some type of proverbial way that he asked the Lord to come into his presence and asked him to come into his house. And so there is Jesus. And this woman brings something into the presence of God. And we'll get into that here in just a moment. But there is something that is happening there. And the Bible said that there is indignation. Oh, God, help us. There is indignation in the house, in the presence of the master, and there are people that have ought. There are people that have indignation. And here we are sitting in the presence of God Almighty. And here's Simon who's been healed. And he can't even remember what his past was just a few days ago when he was on a death sentence with leprosy. But all he can think about is the indignation of this woman that brings in this box. And how dare her break it in here and get my glory and turn attention to her instead of me. And I can just see Simon with his arms crossed and the scowl on his face. And the message that goes forth to Simon is something like this. Simon, if you could only see what is going on right now, there's some things in your life that would change. Because you can begin to follow the line and the lineage there. And there's a very big possibility that Judas, the one that would go and betray Jesus, is the son of Simon, the former leper. The Bible declares him to be Judas, the son of Simon. And here is Jesus reaching. He's reaching. And he's saying, Simon, if you could only understand, and if you could only get the picture of what's going on right here, there is a chance that you could save your son. There is a chance that you could affect somebody here. But because of your indignation, because of your current problem, because of your pride, hey man, you're not going to be able to receive the lesson that's going on here. And he says, Simon, I can't into your house and you have given me nothing. You didn't wash my feet. You didn't greet me with a kiss. And another one of the Gospels, the Bible said that the disciples murmured one among another. Amen. God forbid that the saints have that same spirit of indignation with inside of them. Amen. God forbid that the saints have that same spirit of murmuring. Amen. That we're more comfortable murmuring about what's happening in the church. Amen. Than what's good's going on in the church. Amen. We fail to recognize the presence of God. Amen. Because we're upset with somebody else and what's happening in the church. Amen. God forbid that a backslider would walk into the house of God and need a place to repent, and that the house of God, the people of God, in his presence would stand by with indignation and would say, if he only knew what manner of man, what manner of woman that is. I want to turn it all around and I want to say, Mary, I've learned a lesson from you. Mary, I may not agree with your lifestyle. Mary, there's things that we probably don't understand, but I've learned a lesson. I need to bring something when I come to the house of God. I need to bring something when I come to the presence of God. It's not about what I'm going to receive. It's not about how I'm going to feel, but it's about God. It's about Jesus. It's about what he's done for me. There is a significance when I come into his presence, and I cannot ignore it. I cannot allow it to go past me. Let's stand here this morning. I just wonder how many of us showed up today without anything to give. But rather we showed up, I wonder what that preacher will preach that can bless me. I wonder what they'll sing that'll help me. I wonder what'll happen today that'll benefit me. When there is a true significance about being in his presence. You see, Jesus knew all things. He knew all things. He knew what Simon was going through. He knew what Judas was going through. Hey, Judas, maybe you're here today and you're contemplating backsliding. You're contemplating selling out the Christ. You're contemplating walking away. You know, it doesn't have to be like this. If you would change it around, and rather than how can it benefit me? I've got something I want to give to God. Peter, I see you too. You're emphatic, you're dogmatic. I'll never betray you, God. I'll never betray you. Oh yeah? Before the cock crows three times tonight, you'll betray me. Not I, yeah. Because you don't understand what's going on here. In less than 24 hours, Peter, you're going to deny me. Judas, within a few hours, you're going to deny me. Simon, if that is his son, Simon, you'll never be able to help your son greater than what you could do at this moment. And it's just somebody by the name of Mary that has purpose, that walks down into the house and falls at his feet. Begins to wash his feet with her tears. And the Bible says that she broke the alabaster box. She broke it. There's no putting it back together. There's no trying to catch. Because when she breaks it, it's emptied. She didn't pour it out. She broke it. She gives all.
Oh, Jesus.
And she falls at his feet. She anoints him. She washes her feet. She brought something.
And the Lord, looking around, said, she doesn't realize what time it is. She doesn't realize what hour it is. But she has anointed my body for the burial. Not 5 years, 10 years. In 24 hours, he'd be heading to Calvary. She started right here. Anointing. Mary, you'll never have this opportunity again. This privilege will never be afforded to you again. And I believe that Mary can lean back on her feet and say, I'm glad I gave it all. I'm glad that I gave it all. Just, there's a significance about being in His presence. Did you bring gifts today? Or did you come looking for gifts? Do you have something you want to bring to the Lord today? You have something that you want to break? Or is this just part of your Sunday morning tradition? I just feel the Lord want to do something. I just feel like the Lord wants to help somebody. There's somebody that needs to break. There's somebody that needs to break. You're holding. You're holding your feelings. You're holding your past. You're holding it.
Oh, I love you.
You need
Jesus.
To break. And you're afraid to break because you feel like you're going to lose control.
Lord, I love you.
That's really what God wants.
With all my heart. Jesus.
Because when you're broken like this, God can help you the most.
Oh,
Jesus. Come on. Go ahead, let it break. Let it break. Let it break. Simon, Judas, Peter, James, you're holding your feelings in. And the Lord is saying, look, you're missing so many things because of the indignation that you have towards others. And the Lord is saying, today we want to change that around. Can I just tell you today that God will give you healing? If you'll let that ointment flow out of your broken vessel. In the name of Jesus. Oh, church, let's pray. Come on, let's talk to the Lord. Let's talk to the Lord today.